Hello, everyone, and welcome to Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin, and today I got my very special guest, Evan, from Pop Culture 33, and we'll be discussing The Five Pennies from 1959, starring Danny Kaye. All right, so how's it going, Evan? How are you doing?
Doing well. Just excited to talk about one of my favorite movies as a kid. So thank you for having me on.
Of course, yeah. And you're our honorary guest today and kind of a fan of films. Why don't you kind of introduce yourself a little bit to the audience so they have an idea of who you are?
I'm Evan. I'm Pop Culture 33 on the interwebs. I'm a guy who just loves film, always has since a kid. I was weird, watched a lot of films, been collecting since I was a kid, VHS and everything. And in the last few years, I've just been trying to become a film historian and dissect film and its importance to our society.
Yeah. And Evan's been on the channel on live streams and other videos too. So make sure to check those out. I'll have links to those in the description below. And this movie, Five Pennies, is one of those movies you talked about on our intro to classic movies. And so why don't you kind of talk a little bit about your experience with the movie before we break it down?
So this is a movie I remember my mom had on, and I think it was my first Danny Kaye movie, and just watching him. And then this was my introduction to Louis Armstrong and jazz, I think, was enthralled with the movie. My mom always had Turner Classic Movies on, and whenever it came on, and I remember when it finally came to, I used to rent it all the time, because back in the day you could rent movies, but you couldn't always buy them too.
Right.
So, and finally this came to DVD. I used to have a burned copy. I broke the rules. I recorded off of TiVo, and I hacked my TiVo so I could literally make a DVD of this movie so I could watch it over and over. And then finally they came out with the DVD of it, and I bought that, and I think it's now on Blu-ray. So yeah, it's one of those movies that just was something watched, but not a lot of people have rediscovered yet, except for anytime they talk about this movie's mostly talked about Louis Armstrong. But I just always remember the story in watching Danny Kaye for, as we dissect the movie, why I think it's just a great film.
Yeah. No, and now I'm excited to break it down with you today. This was my first time ever seeing it. In fact, you introduced me to it on that live stream. I never even heard of it before. And ever since then, people all the time are like, oh yeah, The Five Pennies. You ever seen that movie? I'm like, how is it? I've never heard of this, but everyone else has. So I think that's funny.
I'm glad other people have, because a lot of people, when I talk to them about it, the older generation knows about it.
Right.
But I don't feel my generation, so I'm 40 and down, know about The Five Pennies. Yeah, and because most people only know Danny Kaye from one movie, and I bet you can name it.
White Christmas.
White Christmas, the guy who sings with Bing Crosby. But no, right. no one really knows about his career as much. And actually, I find him more interesting than most old film history. That guy was, we'll talk about it, but he got around, especially in San Francisco, and I'm from the Bay Area. So
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get started then, kind of breaking it down. We'll start off with the plot. Kind of what were your thoughts on the plot, and what would you give it on a scale of 1 to 5?
So the movie is old time. Think about where they, I don't know if you've seen Glenn Miller starring James Stewart.
No, I haven't.
Or any of the biopics of those times. They're not going to go for reality at all. They're just going to say, here's an introduction to someone. So it's based off of Red Nichols, hence his band called The Five Pennies, because five pennies make up nickels. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, besides the music, if this is really Red Nichols in the sense of his like true life. They truly take, I think, real liberties of saying, oh, he kind of did this and just do that. But like, it's like the Glenn Miller. It's just a loose Wikipedia way of doing a story. It's not going into fine details. So, but the plot is that of just Red Nichols' rise and then falling in love and then giving up music because of his daughter who ends up with polio and realizing that he's missed so much because of his touring. So he gives up the touring, and then at the very end you get a nice sweet moment of him coming back into the limelight when she's older and discovers that he used to be famous and having a moment there. I don't know if we're going to dissect that moment a little bit deeper later, but that's the simple of the plot. It's very simple. If we're like dissecting it as a movie, I would probably give for this time, it's a strong 4. It's entertaining. It gets it. Now, if you're comparing it to something like The Godfather, it's not going to hold up. But for this type of movie, I think it does a lot more than movies of its time. It's still not a 5. It's not up there with other movies of that era, but it's not bad. It's a sweet movie and it tells a good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm not going to disagree with you there too much. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Liked it a little bit more. I love this character arc. Like you said, it's probably not very accurate. I mean, like movies like Yankee Doodle Dandy, for example, are not accurate at all to the musician in that movie. So you have to kind of consider that. It's definitely a Hollywood telling of the real story. But I loved it. The only real critique I had is I kind of wish we had a little bit more of his backstory, if that makes sense, because it shows him like falling in love and all of that. But it's like the next scene, he's getting married to the woman. You know, he's starting his career, but we don't see him really meet up with those guys to start the band or all that. I kind of wish we had a little bit more of a backstory. No. I do think the focus was more on the music and more on the relationship between him and his daughter, which is fine, but I kind of wish we had a little bit more about him. This rifle's a little bit lacking, but again, I really liked his arc. I love that moment at the end when he and his daughter are dancing together. You kind of can't hold back your tears. It's such a beautiful moment. Yeah, I really, really love that. And just their connection and relationship at the end of it. So,
Yeah, and the plot, the dancing with the daughter is very important because she loses her ability to kind of walk. And so,
right.
So she practices really hard and learns how to dance without her crutches. So that's where that moment is. Because polio, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to watch this, but polio drastically changed the lives at that time. And so having that storyline in there and showing the glimpse of what polio did to that generation and the survivors of that and stuff like that. So it was a very touching moment and sweet. And I think they age, Danny Kaye age well. They did it with the makeup and add the gray in the hair. And
yeah,
he kind of does that. And it's so sweet. But Louis Armstrong, when he shows up again, he looks exactly the same. But
yeah,
even trying to make him look older.
It's like, yeah, so, it's Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
Doesn't matter. He's just a good singer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any other thoughts you have on the plot, or you want to move on to acting?
Do we want to talk about the ending? Is that under the plot or is that?
Yeah, we could talk about the ending right here. It's a better spot for it.
Yeah, I like, so to me, the ending is such a Hollywood ending, right? So you have Red Nichols, haven't played for years. You have this big scene where he throws his trumpet. Right, he throws his trumpet in the river, lake, or wherever he is, because he's like, I'm done playing. And then you have him, the daughter, saying, you got to learn how to play, and he gets nervous. And then no one showed up for his concert. And then he's struggling to play. And then all of a sudden you hear Louis' band and all of his friends from the old day, they show up and they play and win the Saints, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have just this sweet moment. And it's one of those like moments that I think when we're watching movies and we forget about old time Hollywood and that feelings that you go for. This movie just brings that. And I think it's okay to have movies. We don't have to have it to be real. You want that Hollywoodness. And I just love that part. And we forget that Louis Armstrong and how important he was for these films and his introduction to jazz, his New Orleans style of jazz and being an African-American during this time. He's always the stereotypical in his community at this time wasn't liking him because of he's playing this, but he's just bringing so many people at the time, and especially kids who watch Danny Kaye, because Danny Kaye would be, what's the other guy he does on the road movies? Holy cow.
Oh, let's see. Not Bob, Bob Hope. Hope.
Yeah, Bob Hope. Yeah. Yep. So Danny Kaye, I would say, would be the younger generation's Bob Hope, even though Bob Hope was not, and I could be totally wrong on this, and there's other historians that would do that, but I just felt like when I've read about Danny Kaye, that younger generation liked Danny Kaye a little bit, that they felt he was his their guy, Bob Hope was kind of their parents type thing. And so I think just introduced a little bit of a younger generation to Louis Armstrong in this type of jazz. So I just love that ending, and it just brings it all together and the good feelings after you had that scene with them dancing and stuff like that. So I love the ending.
Yeah, no, I do too. It was a really, really good ending, and, you know, showing that, cause he made the sacrifice for her and then she's making the sacrifice for him. So it's a really beautiful moment that they share there.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to acting. What are your thoughts on the acting in this film?
This movie and this script was totally, I think, written around Danny Kaye. The slapstickness of it is perfect for him, especially in the beginning when he's playing with the band and the humor. It's just his. So when you have a movie at this time written for you to shine, how do you not give it a perfect five? I know where every daughter of the age of the both daughters' ages, they did great. The wife holds it together. His friends, I would say, are typical friends. They're just going to do it. There's nothing, they're not adding to it. This is not going to be Oscar winning stuff, but for the film and for Danny, shining his talents, being serious, like when he yells at the kids at the party. It's perfect when you could see his struggle of working in the shipyard and what it's done to him. And so you get all this, you got to see the full capability of his acting career, of his acting abilities. So it's a five for me. I have no complaints for this film.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree. I also gave it a five. You know, this is the second film I've seen with him. The other was White Christmas, and he's so much better in this film, because in White Christmas, he kind of feels just like the comedic role side character. But this, like you were saying, he really shines with his dramatic abilities and just his talent all around. It really did showcase every talent he had, I bet. So, no, I loved it. And let's see. I like the daughters, too. I thought they were great actresses. I thought it was funny. The one who's playing poker with them, that was hilarious. Yeah. How good she was at it. And then the wife is great too. I think her name is Barbara Bel Geddes. If you've seen Dallas, she's in that show. I've never seen it, but that's her claim to fame. but yeah, no, I really love Danny Kaye. He really, really shined in this film. So yeah, 5 out of 5.
Can't go wrong.
All right. What are your thoughts on the directing?
This category always cracks me up, because like at this time you got directors that are just studio directors, right? I don't even know who directed this movie's direction. This movie doesn't need much direction. I mean, there's nothing special about this direction. It's nothing great, it's nothing fabulous. I've been struggling how to rate this. I don't know. It's a 3 because there's nothing special, but at this time, that's what movies did. you know, like you just got the studio director. I can't even think of who directed it. I mean, I don't know if he's a famous. It's not like you're Lawrence of Arabia or any of, I mean, this is right before those directors were breaking the mold mm-hmm. to become directors. Like you have Hitchcock, you have all these others that are kind of saying, hey, look at us taking this medium to a new level. But you also have a whole bunch of films that were just saying no. So I don't know. There's nothing, I guess there's nothing special. If you're going in this to go, I want to watch a great movie and look at every aspect of it, you're not going to get that. This movie was to make Danny Kaye shine, and he shot the camera perfectly, and there is nothing wrong with it at all. There is no, I think the best one is when he throws the trumpet in, and then like there's a scene where he's working on the shipyard where you're like going, oh look, there's kind of like a wider shot anger, but almost the shots are all like typical textbook shots, you know, put mm-hmm. them in the thirds and here's your shot, here's your overhead, you know, it followed all the textbook rules of the time, so you're not going to get anything creative. So does it get a 5 because it does it so well and it doesn't hurt it, or is it a 3 because it follows all the textbooks? So I'll see what you have to say, because I didn't know how to rate it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. In this era especially, the main thing was either the actors or the singing and all that. That was the main focus, not really the direction, if, because there were, like you said, this was before Hitchcock was really big, before any of them were really large. I gave it a 4.5 though, mostly because I love the setup of a lot of the scenes, like in the clubs and stuff, because they looked really, really cool. Like there's this one scene I'm thinking of in particular, and this is kind of more cinematography, but I'll give credit to the director, where you're looking at the ceiling and you see like a reflection of all these dancers, and then it mm-hmm. zooms out and then we see them dancing on the floor, and then it goes behind all of them and they're talking and stuff. I thought that was a really cool, I don't know if you call it a dolly shot or whatever it is, but yeah. I was like, this is impressive, especially for this era. Because like you said, normally it's just flat. It kind of looks like a stage play for the most part in a lot yeah. of old movies, but this one seemed different. Like it really stood out, felt more modern to me. So,
yeah. Yeah. I've seen that shot. Like if you, a lot of dancing movies do that shot. So I guess it might be felt different. Didn't feel any different for me, but I could see what you're doing. But yeah, if you include set design and cinematography, mm-hmm. all under directing, it's a 5. I mean, there's
yeah.
it, like the sets, and like when they're in the hotel, you feel like you're in the hotel. When they're in the car, when they're actually driving, you kind of feel like they're driving, because some movies yeah. at this time don't always feel like they're driving.
No, yeah.
there's not, once you get into this movie and you realize there's nothing that draws you out of it. So then I'll give it a 4.5 with you. It's hard to, as a directing, I always feel with these type of movies, there's going to be standout movies. Like, I got the David Lean box set from Criterion.
Oh,
you know, I'm watching those old movies, like, going, okay, this is where you start to see someone taking it beyond than just mm-hmm. the cookie, you know, but we're not going to have that. You're not going to have that often when you start watching movies, other things now, because I always tell people, when you're watching old movies, you're always going to watch the hits, and they're big and they're remembered for those reasons,
right?
Like Citizen Kane or whatever, because they did something. But don't forget, there are also when Citizen came out, there was probably 10 other movies that came out that no one talks about, and so when you discover them, you're like, oh, it's not as good. Stop comparing them to Citizen Kane. Just watch them for what they are. And I think this is one of those movies that are just sweet for what it is. So, but as you say, if you're including all the aspects of there, it's a 4.5. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Well, and to kind of a little side note, in defense of the, what they call journeyman directors, I guess you wouldn't know what like cookie cutter would look like if we didn't have people doing that all the time. Right.
Yeah.
Like, the auteurs are, they're trying to spread that further, right? They're trying to expand on what's already been established. But if there's no one to establish it, there's nothing to expand on. So, yeah. But I do agree. Most people watch like Psycho or, you know, more Citizen Kane, you mentioned crazier stuff from that era, but that's why they stand out. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, since we're kind of talking about it, let's talk about cinematography and special effects. I would include set design, color correction, all that in this as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to include color grading because sure. Movies at the time, you had Cinescope, you had different Technicolor, you had different color grading. So, and if you look at this movie on DVD with a terrible transfer, it's a terrible transfer. This has not, like, you could just tell they scanned like whatever they had, put it on digital and said, release it. It's not been any kind of like special treatment here.
Right.
The colors stand out. And they had to make sure they had the right film stock. And then when they go to color, make sure the colors stayed. And if you look, Danny Kaye has this like reddish hair. Yeah. And if you watch earlier like VHSs of like White Christmas and you see like some of these transfers, Danny Kaye's hair is awful. And you could tell they fixed it with the H Blu-rays and the 4K stuff. They've gone in and post-production fixed it. But there's some movies out there where like the color grading. And to me, this movie does like, you feel that you're there. So if we're building off the directing, you go into the cinematography and including all that, like I said, it's a 4.5. I mean, it's all wrapped up. I really like it. But I always remember when I rewatched it, was the colors and how much it was standing up on a terrible DVD. I watched it on my DVD and it was, you could tell that it was not good, but it still stood out based off of what they did back then, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
because I think it was VistaVision, I want to say that.
Was it VistaVision? I couldn't remember. So,
yeah.
But a lot of people crazy. Don't know how the wars of death, like, you know, what would be IMAX versus Dolby, you know, all these different theater, like it was what color company did you use? Like color grading company, would you use to what, and what film stock did you use? All that stuff was new and they had to figure it out. So now no one cares.
Right. I know. It's so sad.
And now digital, I don't even know. Like, well, like you could probably dive into it because you got Canon color grading, you have Sony, like the reds. So I bet you those all play into it. We just don't discuss it anymore. So, but definitely back then when color was coming in, you had to discuss it. Like, I think Cinescope is not color grading, and I'm apologizing already. Cinescope was,
wide. Oh, it was just super wide. Yeah.
Right. It went around, it wrapped around the theater. So sorry about that. It's Technicolor, and I think the one you said, there's like, I want to say four companies and I don't have any notes on it, so I'm pulling out of my head, but yeah, there's different companies. Technicolor is the famous one that you're going to see, most people will recognize because Disney used them, and you see it in the beginning of their movies, in that some of their logos you see Technicolor and stuff like that. So that's the one most people know.
Yeah. No, it's just too bad, though, that we don't really focus on that anymore. I guess people kind of do with the 4Ks, you know, with the HDR grading and whatnot. But no, it's kind of a lost art, almost.
The art of coloring.
But anyway, I gave it a 5 out of 5 because of those reasons you were talking about. I love the color scheme in this film. I also watched it on DVD. My local library had it. And I want to say it was from like 2005 or something like that. It looked okay on my TV, but I have a very small TV. So if it was the big fuller one, I probably would have noticed more of the limitations of it. But yeah, the colors really stood out to me. I love the camera angles, especially one I mentioned earlier. There's this one scene where Louis Armstrong is singing When the Saints Go Marching In with Danny Kaye the first time, and the daughter's there too. They have this this like red light on them. I don't know why, but it just looked really, really cool to me. I just love the whole sequence there and all that. I thought it was very creative, especially for movies like this in this era, you know, because 12 years or so before movies like I mentioned, Yankee Doodle Dandy was in black and white, so they couldn't do any crazy colors there. The costumes were what stood out there. But this one, the coloring, the we'll talk about music, but music, all that really stood out to me. So,
yeah.
That's why I give it a 5.
It's pretty nicely said.
All right. Well, let's move on to the music. And I'll preface this with saying this is probably the highlight of the film, at least for me. I don't know about you, but this is definitely the highlight. So take it away.
I probably listen to jazz, and I love a trumpet jazz to this day. So my two favorite kind of jazz is piano and trumpet, and then I can follow with a clarinet or a saxophone. But I truly think probably because of this movie in my love, it could be linked back to this and jazz music. It's perfect. I don't think Danny Kaye is playing. Like, that's not him playing.
He's not, no.
But he is doing such a good job that only probably people who play the trumpet will notice. Because there's other times where you watch musicians in your, it's like keyboard typing. You don't need to know, or playing a video game. You don't need to actually know how to play that specific video game or whatever, but you know what they're doing is not right.
Right.
So that, I don't remember ever going, oh, is Danny Kaye, that doesn't even look right. I feel like he's playing, even when he's playing next to Louis Armstrong, who is for sure playing, I don't know if he's playing live in the thing, but he's playing, he knows how to play. It doesn't look drastically different. I'm trying to remember, there was this movie, I think it was James Stewart. He goes to play piano, and it's, is it Shop Around the Corner? Does he play piano on that?
I think so. Yeah.
They just show his arms, but you could see, even with, he looked robotic.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, if that's the movie I'm thinking of, this doesn't look like that. And so that goes to Danny Kaye taking the time. So, but that's, I don't know if you could find the soundtrack today or on Apple Music, but I have Louis Armstrong in my collection just because of this movie. And I love Louis Armstrong to this day and jazz music to this day for this movie. So it's a 10, it's a 5, sorry.
Yeah, give it a 10 out of 5.
Yes.
No, I'm not going to disagree. I also gave it a 5. Louis Armstrong was fantastic, as always. Danny Kaye is great. And I actually was trying to look and see if he really was playing, because, you know, comparing it to Louis Armstrong. And it's pretty convincing. And I looked it up on IMDb. Who knows how truthful it is, right? But it does say that he learned how to do the finger movements on the instrument. Like, he practiced learning how to do that to make it as convincing as possible. But he's obviously not playing, right? But I thought it was pretty convincing, at least for me. Let's see.
Oh, better than James Stewart did in Glenn Miller.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah. So he plays the trombone. And he's just sliding it up and down. I don't think I had a hard time with that movie. Because we did the top James Stewart ones. And I don't think Glenn Miller was even in our list, right?
No, I don't think we even talked about it. So it's probably a reason.
I don't like that film. A lot of people love, and it's enduring because it remembers Glenn Miller and James Stewart's in it. But I don't like that one. But I think that's why, because of the music. It doesn't seem real, and what this one does.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else? I love the ending song that they're playing. I think it's When the Saints Again, but when he's dancing with his daughter, I love that. I thought it was perfect. Yeah, it's just a really good soundtrack. If you could find it, I recommend checking it out. I think it had like 20 songs in the film. Really, really good. Every single one of them. I can't think of any I didn't like.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack. I know you could go get most of the songs from Red Nichols himself because he's a real trumpet player. Right. He's a real jazz musician. So,
and speaking of that, the real Red Nichols actually provided the cornet sounds.
Yeah.
For Danny Kaye. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. So, let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me on music. Anything else you want to add?
Nope. I think we covered it.
All right. So then, I don't know if you have your score on you, but kind of what's your overall score on a scale of 1 to 5 for this film?
For me, because, I mean, I didn't do the math of the scores, but to me this movie's probably a 4.55. So if I'm judging it, it's probably a 4.5, because I think there is, you know, the sidekicks, the friends, there could be a little bit more, you know, because they're just goofy, they're always one-sided, there's nothing to them outside of just, hey, look at us. And you could have more of them, character development of that. So, but it's a 4.5. Let's go with that, because you do the 0.5s. I often forget about the 0.5s. I usually stick to whole numbers, but no, but it 4 seems too low, 5 seems too high, so let's go with the 4.5.
All right, well, so doing the math, I got 4.8 out of 5, which I'll be rounding to a 5 out of 5. So I actually liked it a little bit more than you, Evan. That's interesting. Yeah. I highly recommend this movie. I don't know if it's really a Christmas movie because it's labeled as one. I think it's a Christmas movie, like how It's a Wonderful Life is kind of at the end of the film. But this has even less of a Christmas type message. So I don't know if I would label it as a Christmas movie per se, but I really, really liked it. If you like music, Louis Armstrong.
Do they have Christmas in it? I think they just have a scene with Christmas in it.
It's the scene where
because they have that fake tree, like that, right?
Yeah.
That tinfoil tree or whatever.
Yeah, and that's when the daughter starts, like she falls over because of the polio. This is like right before she got her diagnosis for that. So, but that's it. That's the only thing of Christmas in the whole film.
I watched it probably in the middle of July and I didn't think anything of it. So,
yeah,
but it's one of those things too, like Batman, Phantom, Mask of the Phantasm, right? I feel that's the Christmas movie. The vibes that it gives off during that whole movie. And I used to tell my son, let's watch this Christmas movie. And then I watched it. There's no Christmas at all, but I saw it on Christmas Day and it has that like fog and that darkness. So there's certain movies that just get you like going, they just feel Christmassy. Yeah. So Lord of the Rings is another one that I always watch in December. So there's different ones.
They came out in December, I think, in theaters.
They did. Yeah.
So that makes sense. All right. But I probably already know the answer to this, but would you recommend this film for people to watch?
No, never watch it. Don't see it.
Don't bother. I guess it was on your other list, right? The live stream you did.
Yeah. So no, I highly recommend. To me, this is one of those ones where I feel when people watch movies, you have two things. People who watch movies, they watch just the new stuff that comes out around them or the greatest hits from the past, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go see the new Jurassic Park movie, but I'm going to watch the one from the 90s. But there's so many more movies out there that tell these fabulous stories that give us a time glimpse. I can't think of any popular movie that deals with polio as much as this movie does.
Yeah.
And polio drastically changed people's lives during that time. I mean, iron lungs. I mean, all this stuff that goes around with what polio does. And this has a prominent storyline in it. And there are more movies that do it, but they're just not popular as much through time. And so I think as we move on, we need to remember, because what movies do you love that will be forgotten over time that you don't want to be forgotten, you know? And we need to just watch more movies that maybe so people don't forget it. So like everyone does Hitchcock, which I love. I love Hitchcock. He's one of my favorite directors. But there's other directors out there that you could do and other movies that you should be watching. And this is a perfect one where The Five Pennies is just such a sweet film, such a probably I want to remember this was an important film for people because of Louis Armstrong's prominence in it. And he was equal to Red Nichols was below Louis Armstrong in the movie in talent. And he had to challenge him and work out, and they have that little off, and then they get equal to each other. I just hit my camera. Sorry. I shaked. But I don't know. I think we need to do a better job at remembering. Five Pennies is a perfect example of that. It's out on DVD. I want to say it's out on Blu-ray, not 100% sure. But it's so easy to watch it. You should watch it. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Well, I can't disagree with you there. And like you're saying, I mean, there's so many movies out there that are not intellectual properties, that are not anything like that. They're just good stories. And this is actually the best time to get into old movies. If you have access to Max, for example, they have the Turner Classic Hub. They have hundreds of classic Hollywood, classic old movies on there. Unfortunately, this one is not one of them, but that's the thing too, right? Like so many of these great films are not streaming. You have to put in the effort. You got to buy the DVD or rent it, whatever it is. And they're fading into obscurity. And that's really sad to me. So thank you for recommending this one to me. I will definitely be buying it because I love it. I want to keep watching it every year. Even if it's not really a Christmas movie, I'm going to watch it every Christmas now. So no, this is a great recommendation. So everyone else, yeah, check it out.
Please, please do. I mean, let's make this movie. Is it even able to buy like on iTunes or Vudu?
You know, usually, so each week for the reviews I do, I have a day that's designated for telling you where you could find it, like the newest release of it. And I haven't done that research yet. So I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but this will be coming out after that. So hopefully I'll have an answer to that at some future point, but I know it's on DVD.
It's on DVD. And when I know it's bashing the DVD, it's not terrible looking for the movie, but I'm just saying it doesn't get the treatment like Casablanca did on the 4K. It's one of those, let's get it out. Let's put it out for people to buy and watch. It's on par, I want to say, with the typical Warner Classic DVD.
Yeah.
Warner Archives DVD, where they're not spending any time cleaning it up or doing anything. They're digitalizing it and letting the computer do its thing and then pushing it out. So there's no humans. I bet you no humans are like truly going and analyzing it. But it actually does not look bad where you go, I can't get into it. So I watched it on my big screen TV and I got lost in it. So,
yeah. But you bring up a good point though. I think this would look amazing in 4K. I think it'd be, and sound too, the music especially.
I'm never gonna get it though.
I know.
I mean, they won't get it because it's not easy to find. And that's, I'm going to say that. That's what makes me sad about Turner Classic Movie Channel being gone and us going to digital. There's no sense of discovery.
No.
And then you're at a mercy right now of the streaming services where Turner Classic, what they did so well, they had a good collection. I want to say 5 to 7 historians that would introduce these movies and explain to you why they're important. And they would just take you for a journey. And I just remember they would say, hey, these movies haven't been ever shown, haven't been seen for, and you just tune in and watch these old movies that haven't been seen in years. Mm-hmm. And it's because you got to look to it. So you got to look to people if you want to know how to watch it, is look to historians, film historians, that will take you on that journey. And that goes for every type of thing. Like, I always do this, and this is what my rule of thumb is when I enjoy something. So if I love Steven Spielberg, I want to find out who inspired Steven Spielberg.
Mm.
And then I find those directors and say, who inspired them? And I do that with music. So like, if I listen to Foo Fighters, I go, who inspired Foo Fighters? Oh, you might discover new things, because if you're liking that, you're going to like that. So I do that with actors and directors alike, and you find hidden gems. Mm-hmm. Because usually people who are making it love it, not always. Some people just do it, and they don't know anything about film. And so, but it's a good policy to have, but I think it works out well.
Yeah. No, can't disagree with you there. Who knows what the future holds, right? But that's why I like physical media, but even that isn't perfect either. I mean, so many of these movies, these old movies, didn't even make it to VHS, you know? Yeah. Like,
you're still at the mercy of the studio.
Yep.
But to me, the streaming platform should be a plethora of all these movies. I don't know, understand how. It's like Disney Plus. Zorro finally came to Disney Plus, I think, this year. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have taken that long. We're still missing the old Mickey Mouse Club. Like, this is going to be. But I'm saying these streaming services have a way to easily give us access to these films, but they're still not doing it. So we have to put our money, buy the stuff, and let's hold these. Let's get more stuff. And some of the stuff we're never going to see because they're lost. So,
right.
But it is what it is.
Yep.
So check out Danny Kaye. Danny Kaye is great. I think another great movie, Court Jester, or is it called Jester? It's another classic one. He gets to be funny in that. So Danny Kaye is an underrated of this time. He deserves more than what he gets of just The White Christmas. And can I just say, I truly think he does. I only watch White Christmas because of that. I'm not a big White Christmas fan movie. I only watch it because Danny Kaye's in. I don't even think I own White Christmas. So there you go.
I don't either.
No. So I'm not a big Bing Crosby fan.
Hmm.
So I was Glenn Gene Kelly.
Oh yeah, but Gene Kelly's good.
So yeah, Bob Hope. I like those, and Danny Kaye, and what's the guy from Singing in the Rain? He's in the Francis franchise.
Oh, O'Connell. Yeah, George O'Connor or Connell. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I like those people.
Yeah, a lot of great entertainers back in that era, I would say. So if you haven't checked out any of these films, I highly recommend checking them out. And I'm starting to get into Danny Kaye. You know, I think A Secret Life of Walter Mitty is another film he's in that is on, I want to say it's on Canopy, or it's streaming too. So I want to check it out. And I really like him. I think he's, like you said, underrated. He's a great, great singer and actor and all that. So, yeah. All right. Well, those are our thoughts on The Five Pennies from 1959. And before we go, Evan, is there anything you want to, any last words or anything last thing you want to say?
I think you just let me ramble on long enough. So just thank you for having me on the show and allowing me to talk to you about one of my favorite movies of all time.
Of course. And I definitely want to have you on again. I think I have you scheduled sometime in 24 for a brief encounter. So.
Oh, yes. So, that's funny, David Lynn. I just mentioned him too.
Oh yeah, there we go. So we're just going through the whole Rolodex, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you all so much for watching and listening to today's episode. And make sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Really Old Movies, where I discuss details about the week's particular film. New episodes are released Saturdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and video versions on YouTube and Rumble on Mondays at 7 p.m. And with that, this has been Really Old Movies. And where can people find you, Evan? If you want people to find you.
Not very many places. So I'm leaving the online world at the moment. I might start my YouTube channel, but most of the other things I'm slowly fading out. I'm still technically on Instagram and Letterboxd, but those could be going away too. So it's just not a world I kind of want to be in. I do like the YouTube and I like coming on having a guest, but I don't know if I like the other worlds at the moment. So
yeah. Well, then with that, then check out the other videos I've done with Evan. I got a little playlist with me and him with the different live streams and now this episode on it. So make sure to check those out. Those are really, really fun, especially the Jimmy Stewart one and the one we talked about, Song of the South, and our favorite old movies. So make sure to check those out. Those are a blast. And again, thank you all so much. This has been Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. It's my special guest, Evan. Take care.